You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tann. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations available from Tann. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 193, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3, Number 20, Peter Receives the Keys of the Kingdom of Heaven. On the way to the Mount and until Jesus retired to pray, the apostles and disciples that had last returned from their several missions gave their master a full account of all that had happened to them, all that they had seen and heard and done. He listened to everything and exhorted them to pray and hold themselves in readiness for what he was going to communicate to them. When, before daybreak, they again gathered about Jesus, the 12 stood around him in a circle. On his right were first John, then James the elder, and thirdly Peter. The disciples stood outside the circle, the oldest of them nearest. Then Jesus, as if resuming the discourse of the preceding night, asked, "Who do men say that I am?" The apostles and the oldest of the disciples repeated the various conjectures of the people concerning him, as they had heard here and there in different places. Some, for instance, said that he was the Baptist, others Elias, while others again took him for Jeremiah, who had arisen from the dead. They related all that had become known to them on this subject, and then remained in expectation of Jesus' reply. There was a short pause. Jesus was very grave, and they fixed their eyes upon his countenance with some impatience. At last, he said, "And you, for whom do you take me?" No one felt impelled to answer. Only Peter, full of faith and zeal, taking one step forward into the circle with hand raised, like one solemnly affirming, exclaimed aloud and boldly, as if the voice and tongue of all, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied with great earnestness, his voice strong and animated, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee, thou art a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven." Jesus made this response in a manner both solemn and prophetic. He appeared to be shining with light and was raised some distance above the ground. Peter, in the same spirit in which he had confessed to the Godhead, received Jesus' words in their full signification. He was deeply impressed by them, but the other apostles appeared troubled. They glanced from Jesus to Peter as the latter exclaimed with such zeal, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." Even John allowed his anxiety to become so manifest that Jesus afterward, when walking along the road with him alone, reproved him gravely for expression of surprise. Jesus' words to Peter were spoken just at that moment of sunrise. The whole scene was so much the more grave and solemn, since Jesus had, for that purpose, retired with his disciples into the mountain and commanded them to pray. Peter alone was sensibly impressed by it. The other apostles did not fully comprehend and still formed to themselves earthly ideas. They thought that Jesus intended to bestow upon Peter the office of high priest in his kingdom. And James told John as they walked together that very probably they themselves would receive places next after Peter. Jesus now told the apostles in plain terms that he was the promised Messiah. He applied to himself all passages to that effect found in the prophets and said that they must now go to Jerusalem for the feast. They then directed their steps southwestwardly and returned to the Jordan Bridge. Peter, still profoundly impressed by Jesus' words relative to the power of the keys, drew near to him on the way to ask for information upon some points, not clear to him. He was so full of faith and ardor that he fancied his work was to begin right away for the conditions, namely the Passion of Christ and the descent of the Holy Ghost, were as yet unknown to him. He asked, therefore, whether in this or that case also he could absolve from sin, and made some remarks upon publicans and those guilty of open adultery. Jesus set his mind at ease by telling him that he would later on know all things clearly, that they would be very different from what he expected, and that a new law would be substituted for the old. As they proceeded on their journey, Jesus began to enlighten his apostles upon what was in store for them. They should now go to Jerusalem, eat the Paschal lamb with Lazarus, after which they might expect many labors, much weariness, and persecution. He mentioned in general terms many circumstances of his future, namely, his raising of one of their best friends from the dead, which fact was to give rise to such fury among his enemies that he would be obliged to flee, and their going again after another year to the feast, at which time one of them would betray him. He told them, moreover, that he would be maltreated, scourged, mocked, and shamefully put to death, that he must die for the sins of men, but that on the third day he would rise again. He told them all this in detail and proved it from the prophets. His manner was very grave, but full of love. Peter was so distressed at the thought of Jesus' being maltreated and put to death that following him he spoke to him in private, disputing with him and exclaiming against such suffering, such treatment. No, he said, that should not be. He would rather die himself than suffer such a thing to happen. Far be it from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee, he exclaimed. But Jesus turned to him gravely and said with warmth, Go behind me, Satan. Thou art a scandal unto me. Thou savorest not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. And then walked on. Peter, struck with fear, began to turn over in his mind why it was that Jesus, a short time before, had said not from flesh and blood, but by the revelation from God, he, Peter, had declared him to be the Christ. But now he called him Satan, and because he had been protested against his sufferings, he reproached him with speaking, not according to God, but according to human desires and considerations. Comparing Jesus' words of praise with those of his reproof, Peter became more humble and looked upon him with greater faith and admiration. He was nevertheless very much afflicted, since he became thereby only the more convinced of the reality of the sufferings awaiting Jesus. The apostles and disciples proceeded in separate bands, each walking with the Lord by turns. He hurried on quickly, stopping nowhere, shunning the towns and villages as much as possible until nightfall, when they put up at the inn near the baths of Bethulia. Here, Lazarus and some of the disciples from Jerusalem were awaiting Jesus' coming. Lazarus had already been informed that Jesus and his disciples would eat the Paschal lamb with him, and he had come hither to meet Jesus in order to warn him, the apostles and disciples, in respect to this Paschal solemnity. He told them that an insurrection threatened during the feast. Pilate wanted to levy a new tax upon the temple in order to erect a new statue to the emperor. He desired likewise certain sacrifices in his honor, and that certain high titles and reverence should be publicly decreed him. The Jews were on that account ready for revolt, and a large number of Galileans had risen up by Pilate's proceedings. They were headed by a certain Judas, a Galileanite, who had numerous adherents and who inveighed hotly against the servitude of his people and the Roman imposts. It would be well, Lazarus said, for Jesus to absent himself from the feast, as great disturbances might arise. Jesus, however, replied that his time was not yet come, that nothing would happen to him, that unsurprising was but the forerunner of a far greater one that would take place the next year when, as he said, his time would have come. Then would the Son of Man be delivered over into the hands of sinners. Jesus sent his apostles and disciples on ahead. They were divided into separate bands and were to journey by different routes. Simon and Thaddeus, Nathanael Chased, and Judas Barsabbas, he kept with himself. Some were to go down along the Jordan, while others proceeded westward from Gerizim through Ephraim, visiting on their way to the feast, some places at which they had not yet been. Lazarus journeyed with the disciples. Jesus commanded them not to go into the Samaritan cities and gave them several directions as to their conduct. He himself went as far as Ginnam to the estate of Lazarus, where he passed the night. On the following day, he went through Labona, Korea, and the desert to Bethania. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. It says in our reading today, at the very beginning, first paragraph, Jesus listened to everything and exhorted them to pray and told and hold themselves in readiness for what he was going to communicate to them. Jesus listens to his apostles. We know that Jesus listens to us today. Every time we pray to him, every time we're before him in the Blessed Sacrament, every time we call out to him, the Lord listens to us. Might I ask, what does the Lord say to us as we pray to him, as we call out to him? What does the Lord say after he listens to everything? Probably says the same thing. He exhorts us to pray and to be ready for what else is to come. The Lord tells us, do not fear. Persevere. As we continue on in the reading then, Peter receives the keys, and that's something very familiar to us, especially as Catholics. This is one of those passages that really forms what we believe, especially about the papacy and such. Peter then asks, you know, can we absolve from sin? And made some remarks about publicans and those guilty of open adultery. And Jesus tells him that later on they'll know all things clearly and what their ministry will look like. But Peter is already anticipating. He wants to know, what is it? Because I've professed you, what is it that I can do? He's seeking clarity and clarification. And then, you know, this is an incident that I think we all have thought about when we've heard the scriptures. Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God who has come into the world. And then Jesus promises him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But later on, Peter gets troubled about all this talk about the passion and persecution. And then he kind of says, Jesus, does this really all have to take place? And Jesus reproves him. So as we see these two different responses, one of praise and one of reproof, well, that probably happens to us at times. We're faithful, we're following the Lord, he commends us, and then We slip up. He corrects us. And so this experience of Peter probably is to really show us how maybe the Lord would address us at times of doubt or questioning or whatever, calling us to remember what he had said to us previously, calling us to remind ourselves of what we've believed in for all this time. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.